welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus, and I'm in the driver's seat again.
And I'm Aaron Flores, and I'm back to riding shotgun, I guess.
I guess, but you get the comfy chair.
I do get the comfy chair, so this is nice.
And I'm Megan Sinnott. I'm on the roof.
How's it going? We got so distracted that we forgot to mention you. Aaron, where are we coming to the people from?
From Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
Yeah.
The People's Republic. I can't believe the People's Republic of Portland.
Well, it depends. Yes. It may or may not be. Who knows? But yes.
We'll find out tomorrow, voting day.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
The election.
Turn in your ballots, folks.
We'll find out whether or not we become a socialist republic or not. we cover various things on this show.
Trains, transit, simpler living.
That's true.
But you're supposed to say other things.
I know, and I've forgotten what those things are.
About speaking irreverently.
Oh, right. Yeah, we speak irreverently, and sometimes we go off track, but we have a good time when we do it. That's our new copy right there.
There we go.
So, Megan, thank you for joining us.
We'll write that in post. It.
Glad to be here.
We are enjoying, tonight we have Kingpin Double Red Ale, which I thought was an IPA, but all the IPA was gone.
I forgive you.
So, thank you. I appreciate your forbearance. Kingpin is one of the best red beers I've ever had, and I'm enjoying it quite well. Speaking of drinking, Halloween was just the other day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know that I actually shared with the listening public what I dressed up for as Halloween as yet.
You did not.
Every year for 2 years running now, which means last year and this year, I've gone as an obscure character from Pacific Northwest history. So last year I was D.B. Cooper. And this year, I was David Wu, circa 2010, in the famed tiger suit in which he was photographed, and that went through the media.
And then everything sort of went downhill for him right after that, pretty quickly.
Yeah, that was kind of the tip of the downhill political iceberg for him, I guess.
It's too bad. He could have been known as the guy in the tiger suit.
Right.
Unfortunately, he's going to be known as other things.
And I had to be careful because I realized that I think for you and I and people that knew us at the time...
It's kind of funny.
It kind of became like a meme almost. Yeah. It was like it wasn't so much about the guy in the tiger suit as it was just about the tiger suit.
And we'd often hold our hands kind of up in that way.
If you haven't seen this photo, he's got two hands held up. And I believe he's displaying... Exactly, yeah, because it sounds like his name. So, basically I dressed up as he for Halloween. And turns out Adele wanted to dress as the same. So she and I had matching tiger suits.
Wow.
And these aren't so much... They're not animal costumes so much as they are kind of like jammies or something, you know, like big old onesies with hoods on them.
That's amazing, you too.
So,
well done.
Thank you.
Are you going to take them camping?
I'm
very winter camping.
Very tempted. I like this idea a lot. They're very warm, and a matter of fact, it was really difficult to wear them indoors because it was like fleece material or something like that. Really soft, really cushy, really comfy, but also very insular. And so, however, it does wick moisture well. So I found as I was dancing at the party I was at on Friday night that you dance, you sweat, then you it evaporates.
Right.
So it worked out okay in the end. But the tiger suit is due for a cleaning.
Is that also in your bag over here?
That is not in my pannier.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. No, panniers are tricky, and it depends on how well you keep up with your personal maintenance. I am bad at emptying my panniers, and in the summer that's not necessarily a problem. Although I suppose it could get warm inside the bag because I have black bags.
And if you happen to spill liquid in there.
Right. So,
which has happened to me a number of occasions.
Yeah, mine are due for a cleaning. Anyways, all that to bring up, I was going to say that I found that sewing by hand, which is what we ended up doing, because...
You sewed that whole thing by hand?
Yes, spent a lot of time standing
over... Mother of God.
I think used an ironing board for a lot of it just to support the thing and go along the seams and whatnot. But the sewing machine that we have, it's kind of a cheap one and it doesn't do thick fabrics really well. So I just sat down and sewed most of it by hand, learned how to backstitch pretty well. And
next year, you can always just use staples.
That's true.
That's how I did a lot of my costume making when I was a costume designer.
That's a great idea.
Fact.
Yeah. Wow. That's
It's a Megan Sinnott original when you see the staples.
Yeah.
Wait. So tell me, where were you a costume designer?
Oh, I had a brief stint in Juneau, Alaska.
Okay.
At a small local theater company there, and I design children's costumes, so no kids ever complained about being scratched by costumes, but I'm sure they suffered greatly.
I could see that being a complaint, if in fact that someone did get scratched by an errant staple. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's a really great idea.
How did that staple get there? That's weird.
Yeah, seriously. But what I was going to say about sewing was that it's a very meditative and calming sort of thing, kind of like...
That it is.
Kind of like bicycling. So, yeah, it takes a little bit longer to get to where you want to go, but you get there and you're happy.
Yeah. So. I stitch my own clothes.
Yeah, I think we may have talked about this before.
Anytime I get a hole in my pants, mm-hmm. I put my own patches on there or anything of that nature. My gloves are notoriously bursting at the seams because I've got a wide hand but tiny fingers.
Oh, yes.
So I usually get gloves that are too small as far as for my hand.
Okay, so you have to kind of amend all of these to fit you personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that seems like a good idea.
So, one of the most awkward conversations I ever had with a coworker was, you know, we bonded over the fact that we both rode our bikes together. And he asked one day if I knew how to sew, and I said, yes, I did. And he said, great, because biking to work every day, I've worn a hole in my pants.
Ah.
Could you mend them?
And it's one thing.
I can teach you how to do it, but no, sir, I will not mend your pants for you.
I will not touch your pants there. Right. No, there's something about that. And I mean, I have that happen fairly often because I like to wear vintage pants, and vintage pants are often more well-worn and more... They'll fail more quickly, I think, because
generally.
They've been worn before. Yeah, so I often get the hole in the pants right at the middle of the inseam, I guess.
Well, I'm not sure if we talked about it last time, but I have been on once before, and we talked about fashion, and we talked a lot about why or the fact that I wear dresses and skirts. But one of the reasons I do is because I hate the hole in the pants, and you don't get holes in skirts, not the same way.
It's already got a giant hole.
Yeah.
The one that your legs go through?
Yeah.
Okay. The Bike Portland podcast, you were on in like April or March or something like that.
Sure.
I feel like it was still a rainy month because we were talking a little bit about rain. But that's a great resource. So if anybody hasn't heard that yet, bikeportland.org/podcast. I'm guessing at that, but I'm pretty sure that's where you find it. We'll put up a link. So... Yeah, clothing is a fascinating thing. Speaking of clothing, Aaron, you just tried out the rain gear for the first time.
I did.
Not raining today.
It's not raining, so it worked. It worked really well.
Yeah, there we go. Excellent.
Well, I can't remember if you mentioned this on the air, but I have a hard time when I go to reach. You know,
wait,
I have
unless they've listened
reach.
To what you guys have talked about before, they don't know what the gear is like.
Yes.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. If this is your very first time with us, you wouldn't know that we're borrowing a rain cape. It's a Caradise rain cape that Drew lended to us. Lent. So, yes.
And titled it Rain Cape Challenge.
Right. So, yeah. It's been Rain Cape Month, which began the second week of October and will end at the first week of November.
Depending on how the elections go.
That's true. If we elect a groundhog, there may be more time.
6 more weeks of rain cape.
That's right. And the trick is you have to have it long enough to actually try it out in a downpour.
That's true. Because
I had a chance for that last time I had it, but you have not as yet.
No. It took me a while to get to wearing it. We mentioned in the last episode, kind of stinky.
Yes. And, yeah, I did not do a good job of drying the cape out.
And so...
And once again, went back into the infamous pannier. So,
the pannier of funk.
Beginning to think I should just not use pannier. I should find some other method for
line your panniers with like baking soda.
Oh, maybe that I could also do that.
So what about the reach then with the cape?
Oh, yeah. So whenever I reach for my brakes... Because I have a disc trucker, and those have notoriously long top tubes. I reach beyond the confines of the cape, and and to me, anyways, kind of defeats the purpose of the cape. Also, having a light mounted on the handlebars.
The cape covers that light up.
The cape will cover that. Mm. So that's my critique. However, I've yet to ride it in the rain. So I'm looking forward to that. And,
right.
And other bonus, I could wear minimal clothing. I was just wearing this Surly jersey and was roasting under there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So far, that's what I have found with my experience. Megan, are you a rain cape person, or have you worn them? Have you tried them out?
I accidentally found myself participating in this challenge last week.
Okay.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and I had
by accident.
Well, I mean, I didn't know that there was such a challenge happening, but we have an office cape. I work at Nutcase Helmets, and we have a cape in the office for anybody to use. And I didn't have a rain jacket and had to head home, but I was with my dog. And so I did a lot of walking with the bike and my dog, and also biking with the dog in the bike. So I got to try it out in many different ways. And the walking with the cape was pretty awkward.
So, yeah, because it kind of like it just falls down around you.
Yeah.
It's shapeless.
And it was hard because like getting to my hands was weird. I felt like I had like an awkward costume on and I wasn't quite pulling it off.
Boo.
Yeah.
Trick or treat.
Yeah, kind of. And then because I had
ghost.
Well, and I had my helmet on, and then the water was coming down around my neck, and so I got home and I had a wet neck, but the rest of me was dry. But it was just, I don't know. It wasn't bad, but I haven't gotten cape
chic
down.
You're not a
convert. Not yet. I appreciate them.
And I think what I noticed when I tried the cape is that this is a non-porous material. As Drew was saying in his maintenance email, when we said it was stinky, he said, here, wash it.
Just throw it in the wash.
And he said, yeah, don't worry, because it's not a special, there's no fabric treatment or anything.
Right.
It's just waterproof synthetic fabric. And so I think my deal, I compared it to a hot tub. In that you jump into a hot tub and then the warm water swirls around you, except in this case it's air and it's swirling around you and the cool air is below. And I just found that I found myself getting very warm. And of course there's a zipper at the collar so you can like open and close the zipper as needed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But even with the zipper all the way open, I didn't find that I could really get rid of all my excess body heat in
there
a way
to
that
be
was
a double-sided
useful.
Zipper too.
Oh, sure. So you can reach
from
underneath.
That would be so much
more
useful.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Right. And so there's
maybe
like
less comfortable than you got the zipper up again. Anyways.
Yeah. There's the fun part of flouncing around in a cape and feeling like a superhero. And then there's maybe the not fun part of flouncing around in a cape. And also the runoff, like coming out, like if you're not wearing any additional boots or gaiters or anything, the rest of the water runs down onto your shoes. So, it's interesting. I am very glad that Drew lent us the cape to try out. I am not convinced that it's the right one for me. So.
No. I mean, I've only ridden it once, so I guess I shouldn't really give too much of it.
You agree adamantly. No.
No. But then again.
Yeah, right.
No, I'll wait. I'm going to ride this, or I'm going to wear this for a week.
I had one significant downpour on my commute this last week, and when I did that, I put on my standard rain gear, my jacket and rain chaps from Rainmates. Rainmates, right? That's the ones that we had. Or you have the rain legs.
I have rain legs now.
All right, and I have Rainmates.
Which I left at home.
So
I'm riding the cape.
True. So many brands.
Brands and things.
Yeah, but what I noticed was that my jacket was very comfortable to me, and I liked the range of motion that it gave me. It is not fluorescent, so I was not as well seen.
Is your
perhaps.
Cape fluorescent?
The one that we're borrowing is very fluorescent.
Oh, sure is.
You see, it's right down there.
We have one of those reflective ones.
Oh, okay.
It's very fancy pants.
Mm. Wait, is it like a muted color with fluorescent highlights, or is it?
Yeah, it's gray.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Yeah, I believe that's the one that Drew has another one that he said.
Right, he said
it's a waxed cotton or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, anyways, all that to say, Rain Cape Month is
continues.
It's rolling
still
along.
Continues.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, do you have favorite rain gear, Megan?
Oh, I'm so terrible at rain gear.
Okay.
People don't like to hear this, but my preferred rain shoes are often just synthetic shoes that will air out quickly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
So gross.
No.
They haven't mentioned that they could smell me, audience, so I think I'm doing okay so far. But like Melissa shoes or classier kind of jelly shoes in like a severe downpour. I just kind of give up on certain.
Staying dry?
Yeah. It's just like, you know what? If I'm going to get wet, so I may as well just go with it and then let them air out and dry off real quick. I do have some pretty hefty rain boots as well, which is really awkward to bike in, like real rain boots. But I'd rather just go for it than try to play around with like cute little things I zip over my shoes or shoes that don't look good that are waterproof. And so then I'm miserable that I'm wearing ugly shoes all day long or whatever right. It is.
There's a surprising number of people who've come through the studio that have said basically that.
Yeah. I mean...
Like the cute shoes thing?
Just the fact that like rain gear is maybe overrated.
Oh, okay.
I just can't handle it. Like I really don't like having wet rain pants and wet boot covers and that stuff around because then you're going to end up with a stinky pannier.
Right. As I do. I'm trying to get better.
And I just don't like being the jerk that, you know, drapes my rain gear all over the office.
That is a thing that you have to deal with. Like, once you get to wherever you're going, then you have to find a place to hang all this wet stuff.
Yeah. It's not cool. So I just, I often wear bare, I just go bare legged.
Scandalous.
Ooh, it's very scandalous. So either like a wool skirt or some kind of just something that isn't cotton, basically.
Yeah. And you're not a vegan, I assume.
I am a vegan.
You are, okay, but you're a wool-using vegan.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm a vegan that's not a vegan. I wear wool and I wear silk.
Okay, right. I know there are people that fall on both sides of that, so.
Yeah.
How did you make that choice?
I never gave up wool and silk. I've been a vegan for over half my life now. I'm 31 years old. And I grew up in Alaska. And I gave up leather for the first 10 years of veganism. And I just, it never made sense to give up wool and silk because they're such fantastic materials.
Right, like the payoff versus...
Nothing is superior to wool and silk.
Right.
And so I felt like there were so many worse things in the world that I could do that weren't just wearing wool and silk. You know, so
right.
I don't know. I just felt like it was much more worth it to me. I also never gave up eating honey. So I guess in my, whatever it's been, 17 years of being a vegan, I never really was a vegan because I always ate honey. And wore wool and silk.
Gotcha.
PETA's after me.
Right. But you're not killing pigs. That's a thing you don't do.
I have never killed a pig.
Right, right. Or cows or
but
birds.
But I'm not eating them either.
Right, right. At which point, like, I was just thinking down the list of, lizards, reptiles, insects. So I guess you're using the products of a honeybee.
Yeah.
But that's probably about as high up as it gets on the chain as far as what kinds of life forms you're willing to disturb.
I started wearing leather recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I now wear leather pants, leather, just kidding. That'd be so awkward.
I was waiting to see how this came around and how it like jibed with the worldview.
No, I went over 10 years, saying no to leather shoes, but there just isn't anything better for long walks.
Sure. Well, and so there's definitely, as far as between buying new leather and used leather, I suppose there's that too. Like if you're looking for used, that's already been done.
Yeah, used leather was my gateway back into the leather.
Whereas if you're buying new, that means that there's an industry that's still being propped up.
Yeah, you're still increasing or at least upholding demand.
Yeah. It was a solid year of just free boxed leather.
There you go.
Which is maybe creepy, but I went with that as a way to convince myself it was okay.
Well, is that creepier than taking it off of a live animal?
I mean, it was still alive at one point. I don't know.
Right. Just saying, like, it wasn't done expressly for you as the very first consumer. So I feel like maybe the ethics of reuse, I think, have a certain amount of bearing there.
Sure.
But everyone has to make those decisions for themselves. And I think I first encountered, I never thought about the idea that wool was, or it could involve animal cruelty. But that was one of our listeners in Boston, Jeremy. He was
the one that
introduced me to the idea that you might not want to do new wool products because new wool products require a lot of unpleasant conditions for sheep. So
well done, Jeremy.
Yeah, for sure.
And tend to travel.
What was that?
They tend, as far as getting the wool from its source to the store to your home.
Right.
There's a lot of mileage.
Like New Zealand, a lot of times. So, yeah.
I actually just fly to New Zealand to get my own wool.
Oh, well, there you go.
Shake of the head. No, indeed. Unless you do it under your own power. I mean, there's always that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that it's not that I will never buy new wool again, because I probably will. Because again, like, about the utility, it's like I like what this does. I like the way it works. Whenever I can find used merino wool, I am very happy. And it's becoming easier to find as it proliferates on the market. So you can launder your guilt through others, I suppose.
There you go.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So thank you for sharing that. I'm not a vegan. I don't really understand all the intricacies of it, but I'm intrigued. And I think it has a lot to... it's very similar to the bicycling thing, in that you kind of choose, like, what is it that I'm giving up and why? And and if you're doing it with any sort of consciousness, then, you know, it's a very, like... It's a very introspective and self-revealing sort of exercise. I'm going to press record on this thing here.
Do it.
Do you want to tell us about the Nutcase Helmet contest first?
Yeah. So I work for Nutcase Helmets. And if you go to nutcasehelmets.com/submit, then you'll find all the information you can about our new call for artists. So... we are doing an international call for artists, and we're looking for people to design the next Nutcase Helmets. So if your design is chosen, you'll get $1,000. You'll have your helmet actually put into production for the 2016 line, and you get an all-expense trip paid to Germany for Eurobike and then Las Vegas for Interbike. And
both.
I'll be there. You get to go with me.
There we go. Fabulous.
See, you should lead with that one.
That's the primary selling point.
Everybody's like, nope.
I think people might be enticed. Like, hey, you get Sugar Skulls and Day of the Dead celebrations all the time.
Yeah.
That was a good party you threw, by the way, it sounds like.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't there.
It's all right, Brock. Give you.
Next year on Day of the Dead.
We'll see. I was really lucky this year because I actually had three people from Mexico City. So it was really their party. I mean, they got to school me on everything I was doing.
Oh, nice. Okay. So yeah, that would help.
Oh yeah. It wasn't just like me being like, I'll put rose petals on the altar. And they're like, that actually doesn't mean anything. Where are your marigolds? And I'm like, oh, I have to find marigolds.
Marigolds.
So
I don't even have any. Right? I don't know where you would get them.
Not in Portland.
Okay.
They're around. Anyways, so yeah, Nutcase Unframed. Please submit. The call for entry started November 1st, Day of the Dead, and then ends November 30th.
There we go. And this is anyone's eligible to submit. You don't have to be a licensed or confirmed artist, or you don't have to have your art on a postage stamp or something.
Right. Absolutely everybody is encouraged to submit. Although, Brock, I don't know if you knew this, but you can actually submit your own art for a stamp and have it made. You know that?
I heard, like, they turned this around.
U.S. postage stamp.
Eh? Right.
Huh? Pretty cool.
Which, for anyone who used to collect stamps, means, like, this is the end of stamp collecting.
It kind of is, yeah. Well, or
there are no collector's editions anymore.
Well, it could be a new era, because, like, anytime, you know, somebody's art gets posted, it's they're all limited editions, basically, at this point.
I think stamp collecting died when they became self-adhesive.
No, that's true.
It was like 1995 or something.
Bunch of sellouts.
Right,
those
right.
Self-adhesives.
Also, don't have to be dead to be on a postage stamp anymore.
Nope.
They changed that as well.
I didn't know that was an actual requirement.
Oh, yeah. It used to be you had to be dead at least 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yep. So that's all been changed. Anyway, this has been Stamp Collecting Corner on the Sprocket Podcast. Philatelist today.
Top right.
Yeah. Film by bike. Megan, you're also involved with that. And you were telling us about that before the tape shut down.
Yeah. So I've been lucky enough to work with Aileen Crotty for many years. She helps me tag along with her. And this year's Film by Bike, it usually happens in April. And we're messing with everybody. And we are doing it in May. So mark your calendars for May 22nd to May 23rd.
May 22nd and 23rd.
This is insane.
Wait, there's more.
Oh, yeah.
Where is it this year?
Where is this?
It's not at the Clinton Theater.
Ah!
What?
Ah!
My world is falling apart.
Yes.
I know. You don't know what you're going to be doing in April or where you'll be. I'm so sorry.
I'm
going to
be wearing sackcloth and flagellating myself.
Oh, jeez. Well, do that all the way on up.
All the way until
to
May.
Hollywood Theater.
Are
because
you serious?
That's where we're going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So we love the Clinton Street Theater. But we need bigger digs this year. We outgrew it.
Okay.
And we're really excited to be working with the Hollywood Theater. It is such a beautiful historic theater. And Velo Colt has been gracious enough to work with us for the quote-unquote street party. So,
oh, there we go.
We won't be hanging out in the middle of Clinton this year. We're going to be in a nice, huge parking lot, lots of elbow room, and Velo Colt in case it's completely pouring down rain. So,
you've got indoors and outdoors options.
Indoors, outdoors,
and, it's
and
so
then
close
we're
going to
have
theater.
A little parade to the theater, which is adorable.
That's awesome.
Oh, that is pretty
it's,
cool.
It's
yeah.
good. It's good. So, yeah, mark your calendars May 22nd and 23rd.
Wow. Does anybody else know about this yet?
I know, right?
Are we breaking
Who's
this
doing
news?
Their
breaking
social media?
Here.
Well, thank you for telling us that first. That's kind of exciting.
You're here first. Yeah.
All right. Fabulous. Well, this is exciting. And it's going to a 2-day event then.
Yep.
Because so historically it's been like 5.
Well, yeah, originally I think it was 3, and then we pushed it out to hit the Monday and possibly Tuesday as well. But we're pulling back. We're changing stuff. Hollywood is spendy.
Right.
It's worth it.
Right.
But it is spendy.
It's classy.
So it is very classy. So be sure to don your finest. Yeah, your bow ties. Ladies in your silk dresses. I hope we talked about silk earlier. I'm not sure
we
if we lost that.
We did. We got that part.
We got the silk.
Seriously.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, is there anything else you want to tell the people about in this abbreviated edition before we let you go to your next engagement?
I don't know if we got to talk about this, but World Naked... Well, not... We talked about that. The Midnight Mystery Ride.
Ah, yes.
It happens the second Friday of every month.
Right.
And we always need new leaders.
Okay. Is this a desperate call for new leaders?
No.
Not desperate.
Even scratch that out, because I hate that in the marketing.
Oh, really? Okay.
We're not desperate for leaders. However, Midnight Mystery Ride, Team Midnight is vast. And Midnight Mystery Ride has been going on since, as far as I can tell, 2004. And I was still in college when it was happening, so don't trust me and my reliability and all this stuff is hazy because it was college. but I was at Midnight Mystery Rides in 2004.
There we go.
And I checked my emails to prove it.
And there was some sort of 10-year celebration recently.
Were
I don't remember exactly
there?
How recent it was, but I remember there was... Yeah,
good. All right. So
it's been around for a long time. It's an institution of the Portland Bike Fun scene.
And... We are always looking for new leaders. It's not a desperate call. It's just that we want to know where everybody else can take us, mm-hmm. right? And so it's a mystery. And if it's the same 20 people always leading rides, then it's going to be
You're
eventually
end up
to
the with same.
The same
20 destinations.
Yeah.
Plus.
So we're don't ever think that you don't have a new place to show, because even if it's a place that we've been to before, we hope you'll choose a new bar
or
that
new
a new route.
There.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I learned as. A past leader, that it really is. It's the Midnight Mystery ride.
Yes.
And the destination is really important, but the ride is as well. I thought it was really hilarious one year, and I led the ride for only like 4 blocks. I thought it was so funny.
The Midnight Mystery ride.
Yeah.
Did you have to like quell a riot?
Oh, it was horrible. People were so upset, but it was, we
like
started
didn't
out
go
at a,
anywhere.
We started out at a really funny bar and then we rode on a really terrible street, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then we ended at one of the best spots I have been to for a Midnight Mystery ride, in an old crumbling cemetery, like underneath I-5.
Oh, wow.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
And people were like, are you flipping kidding? You know, like, this is where we're going. This is no mystery ride. And then they like busted off and left. No, so the ride left me, but I kind of loved it. I was like, thank goodness that people are so passionate about the ride that somebody's like, I'll take you someplace.
That was easy.
And that was a mystery. It was like, wow, I don't even know if he knows where he's taking you guys, but I love that you're following him.
Right.
So continue on, rock on.
Anyway,
so anybody can lead a ride. And if you don't know where you want to go or are scared about the planning of the route, team up with somebody.
Okay. There we go. Well, so it sounds like there should be a Team Sprocket Midnight Mystery Ride at some point.
Yeah, please. Team Sincerity, Team Sprocket Ride.
Right.
Of some kind. Yeah.
Or some crossover between the two.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they're one and the same, which they might be.
I don't.
It's hard.
I'll leave it ambiguous.
It's hard to make these distinctions. Yeah.
I'm not the leader of either of these institutions.
Right. So. And what is the internet site for Midnight Mystery Ride is teammidnight.
It's midnightmysteryride.com.
WordPress?
Yeah, WordPress. Oh, crap. I don't...
Yeah, it's okay.
No,
we'll look it up. We'll look
it up and post it.
Yeah, we will.
So, I'm not here to talk much about helmets, and I don't want to get into too much of a debate. What I want to do is just tell you...
Yes.
...about the new products from Nutcase Helmets.
Please do.
I'm really excited about them this year.
Yes.
And nobody from Nutcase even knows I'm here. So it's not like, thank God I can write this off and put it on my time card. hold on, train.
Okay. We're not pausing for this one.
That's right.
Talk over it.
Just let things happen.
That one was Freight.
Ghost Train.
Yes, it was.
That one was, yeah.
So there's a lineup.
So spring 2015 for the helmet world is... wild.
It's going to be huge.
It's huge. So here are some new things that Nutcase is putting out. One, my most favorite, is that Nutcase Helmets is coming out with a baby Nutty.
Really?
Oh,
so we have little Nutty.
Yeah.
Like
and
a
that's
child
the best
size?
We've known it
okay.
so far. Yeah. But baby Nutty, even smaller, even lighter, great features for infant toddlers.
Yeah.
Really, really exciting. So it's CPSC certified 1 to 5. That's just what the certification is.
Okay.
But the helmet itself, I mean, the design of it, everything is just wild. I cannot wait to share this with people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because I would imagine there is probably less in the way of finding helmets for very young children
oh
than
my
for
goodness.
Many other parts of the population.
Well, that 1 to 5 age group is really difficult because they're clunky. They're cheaply made. They're often just not very well designed. And these helmets, our baby nutties, they look good. And they're solid, beautiful helmets.
Yeah.
So you can actually feel proud about the helmet that you give your 1 to 5-year-old.
Excellent.
It seems like the new direction, or maybe not direction, but the new thing in the bike industry, bike accessories, is more child family oriented.
Right.
I think the industry is waking up to the fact that, you know, the car is no longer the default for the family.
Yeah. So Baby Nutty 2015. We're also coming out with a new helmet called the Metro Ride, which is for urban commuters. It's a lighter helmet. It's Idmol design. It has a very wide range for adjustment, but it's just one helmet. So for bike shop owners, they'll be happy to know that it's just one SKU. You don't have to deal with extra small, medium, large, extra
there
large.
There we go.
Okay.
It's just one helmet.
It's adjustable.
It's adjustable. Yeah. The spin dial on that thing is crazy. It goes all... It's
nice.
The range. You're like, hold on. It's still going... wee, and it gets, you know...
It's so big. It's so small. It's the same helmet.
Same helmet.
How do we know this?
And then our little nutty helmet has evolved, and it's now the Gen 3 little nutty. So it has all the features of our Gen 3 adult helmets.
Okay.
Only smaller. So...
So parents can feel good about, yeah.
Parents can feel good about that, yeah. So it's increased airflow, improved spin dial, all that kind of stuff. And then a lot of people don't know that Nutcase, I mean, I'm a biker, but I also appreciate other activities like motorcycling and water sports and snow sports. And we have helmets for those as well.
Any place where your head would be traveling at a fast rate of speed?
Many of the places, correct, yeah.
Head hurtling through the air, protected by Nutcase.
And probably when this airs, we're having 25% off sale on snow, water, and little nutty snow and bike.
Okay.
25% off is the biggest sale we've ever had on these helmets.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, sorry to plug, but
no, please do.
I'm excited about this stuff. So
it's your,
I wish more people knew, especially about the baby nutty. Please.
Yeah. Pass the word around.
Yeah, let it be
Tell
known.
Tell your friends.
Get those kids safe.
Yeah.
So hooray for helmets.
Fabulous. Well, thank you for sharing it. That with us. And
do you want to know anything about the World Naked Bike Ride? I don't know if we talked about that.
Did we talk about it,
we
and I think
there.
We lost it because the computer
So we should mention at least a little bit.
Yes, you have helped to organize this, and you helped to do some of the social media. We were talking about how you were the person behind the logo, basically. You're the one that that deals with all the comments coming in. And
So professionally for work, I do... our interactive media management for Nutcase Helmets. And then for the World Naked Bike Ride, I also manage our online presence. So our website, our Facebook page, our Twitter, all that stuff, blame me. If you email basically info@WorldNakedBikeRide, which doesn't actually exist, it's theworldnakedbikeride@gmail.com. But if you email that jerk, it's me.
Okay.
So be kind.
There we go.
And right. Also know, yeah, it's we had had this conversation earlier,
yeah,
the three of us.
About trolling.
Yeah, about trolling and about understanding and being forgiving and caring to people that are behind bike culture, because it's likely that one person is doing many different things. So understanding and appreciating, and if ever you have a question or concern, approaching it as a caring individual opposed to a jerk is really great, because
right.
you probably already know the person, and there's probably a reason that they didn't do what you would have thought they should have done, either because they were too busy to do it or they just didn't have the information yet. So,
or they're not
volunteer
you.
More.
Yeah. Put your voice in the conversation.
Yeah. And be kind. Be wind.
I like this. These are good things. All right. Well, Megan Senna, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have to have you back next time when we have more reliable equipment.
Shit. really great having you. Thank you so much for having me. Thanks. Really great having you guys here for my interview.
we've all been here together. This has been fabulous. Nutcasehelmets.com.
Yes.
And World Naked Bike Ride. Google it. And that's it for now.
Bing.
Saying anything embarrassing.
Okay. Well.
Because I never say anything embarrassing here.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
We got some headlines.
Holy shit, they're back.
Seriously.
You thought they were gone.
It's really hard to get rid of headlines in a town like this. We tried. We thought we stamped them out.
I don't know why I needed to like make headlines sound exciting.
Well, what you got for us?
First, from Bike Portland by Mr. Michael Anderson himself, is an analysis of the National Bicyclist Safety Report. The headline is, National Bicyclist Safety Report out today gets actual safety trends backwards.
Backwards.
And I'm not going to read much of this because there was so much good stuff in there.
A lot of data.
Yep. Lots of data. It is very data heavy, so therefore like probably not really easy for us to just do it justice. But I will read the bullet points that he made here. One, the language framing the report is pointlessly divisive. That is something that I think Bike Portland and Jonathan Mouse have often said. Calling someone a bicyclist implies that that's the only way they get around, and that's not the case. The report makes no effort to calculate fatality rates as a share of ridership. Meaning all they do is count fatality rates. They don't count it as, like, say, the mileage or per mile that is ridden or the amount of people that have increased on the roads.
So they're just saying, like, this is really dangerous.
Yeah.
Look out.
Again.
All who bicycle, beware.
It's danger.
Okay.
List of states where there are lots of bike fatalities is just a list of states where there are a lot of people.
Oh, so more this people, is more statistically, it equals out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The report dismisses the rapidly spreading installation of protected bike lanes.
As in like Peshaw bike lanes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's still dangerous out there. The report names drunk biking and biking without a helmet as major safety problems, without offering any evidence.
And we will say that you probably shouldn't bike drunk, and a helmet will help protect your head.
It will protect your head. But those in and of themselves
may not be major safety problems,
right,
as compared to getting hit by a huge car.
Or the rate of speed at which.
Sure.
That's my own personal
right
soapbox. Next, the report does make some good points, and you got to read that.
You got to read them.
The report misses by far the most important story about bike safety from 75 to 2012.
Oh, man.
And
I have to read it to find out that one, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the main one is there's a lot more bikes on the road.
Ah, back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I think Michael may have mentioned some of that on the most recent Bike Portland podcast.
Oh, that's so great.
Which, it's a fascinating concept. So, yeah, also recommend that one. So there's that.
There's
and then.
That. Next, this is going to get us some hate mail here.
It's going to piss everybody off.
Yep, here we go.
That's what we do here.
Yep, this is what we're known for.
Seriously.
Controversy. Vision. Oh, awesome. Thank
yeah.
you. Vision 0.8. Oh, sorry. 0.08.
There we go.
Why any major safe streets effort must tackle alcohol, by Jerry Zalata, Dr. Z.
Former show guest. Yeah.
Yep. He guest articled for Bike Portland. And again, I'm just going to summarize. It's a very good article.
Uh-huh.
Quite controversy, I would say, especially here in Portland.
Because people like their beer here.
Where people love beer and people love bikes, and sometimes the two meet.
Sometimes they like them together.
It's not the best. Last year, the U.S. Department of Transportation reported alcohol blood level was 0.08 grams per deciliter or greater in the blood of 14% of drivers involved in walking fatalities, in the blood of 36% of people who died while walking, including more than 45% of people aged 21 to 54, and in the blood of 24% of people who died while biking. He goes on to say, I don't want to blame victims here. The circumstances of these deaths were all complicated, but alcohol was a part of far too many of these circumstances. There are external issues here. Dark night deaths are often low-income workers at the end of restaurant shifts. Deadly environments may have poor lighting or no sidewalks. There may be an absence of public transportation. Our own Barber Boulevard is known as Alcohol Alley by some Portland police.
It's the first time I've heard that, but it's interesting.
By the police.
Okay,
so,
right.
You know, laymans like you and I.
Okay, I suppose that makes sense.
Even eliminating the 14 out of 100 drivers who are drunk in fatal walking crashes would not eliminate the problem of alcohol. For every 100 people killed while walking, 36 would still have been drunk themselves. So basically, just getting in a cab, you know, it doesn't change the fact that you're still drunk. Although it does at least change the fact that you're not walking around on the streets.
Sure.
If Portland or Oregon as a whole adopts Vision Zero, I hope it will include a Vision 0.08 paragraph, one that includes a serious analysis of alcohol. We need real mechanisms to measure and analyze data from our alcohol-related deaths, which would include direct programs or external issues like road design, but a major focus on internal factors behind more than a third of vulnerable road user deaths.
Hmm. So be careful. For those of you who drink, and not all of you do, those of you who do, make very smart decisions when it comes to how you get around after you drink.
24% of people died while biking.
Right, right.
Yeah. 24% of the people who died while biking had 0.08.
And I'll say this. I have had some escapades, and they have led to entertaining stories.
Well,
and yet, those have been incredibly risky and foolhardy escapades.
Well, and that's the thing about this article, is it was kind of a wake-up call for me.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't drink at all, but
that's true.
I'm around people who drink, and I generally don't really – I'm not I'm sort of a live and let live kind of person in that realm. Like,
but maybe you should be more like John Cusack at the beginning of Say Anything with everybody's car keys in the pillowcase.
Oh, I was thinking of standing outside your window.
Oh,
with
no,
the boombox.
That's later on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you should do that later on. But maybe you should be grabbing people's bike lock keys. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, drinking at home is not bad. I'll say that.
Yeah.
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 Or staying out until you're sober enough to know what's going on around you.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Again, this was a wake-up call for me, and I don't know, like, I don't see myself, like, you know, yeah, taking everybody's keys or anything, but it at least brings some awareness.
For sure.
To the issue.
Well, and also, I also think, like, I've been the guy that, like, kind of babysits drunk people from time to time, and yeah. I do feel kind of bad when I put somebody else in that position. So maybe the answer is just not too much.
There you go.
Not too much.
Can we do it?
I think we can. I think it's well worth, it's a point well worth considering. So, hey, on that summer note. All right, you want to pass these back and forth?
Sure.
All right.
I'll start. Mark S. has the Portland rain jacket from Showers Pass, loves it, and tells Aaron to splurge. He also shares his experience with an almost vegan bacon cheeseburger made by a young Orthodox Jewish lady.
Yeah, I like this. He says that, what was it? It was portobello mushrooms marinated in a teriyaki sauce, topped with soy bacon, Swiss cheese, and sprouts, and whole wheat bun. This sounds really good.
That does sound delicious.
Aside from the cheese, totally vegan.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, with all of that, honestly, I probably wouldn't have missed the cheese if it just wasn't on there.
Seriously, I need to try soy bacon and see if it stands up to other bacon.
And on the realm of the Showers Pass Portland jacket, I really love the design of that jacket.
Yeah.
It's a really cool jacket. It's a bike jacket that doesn't look like a bike jacket.
Seriously. It's not black.
But it doesn't come in black, and therefore it's off my list.
Right, right. Yep. What's the other one? It's like the Amsterdam jacket or something. It's like a slightly thicker.
By Showers Pass?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like the Portland, but it's a little thicker. It's for maybe colder weather or
okay.
something.
Oh, okay.
It's
kind
of quilted.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more windproof.
But I don't think that one is black either. I think it's like blue or something.
And I've got a winter bike jacket that also doesn't look like a bike jacket that I love. It's just too heavy for right now.
Right. Dan in Minnesota shares some bicycle camping photos on his Tumblr. And pertinent to last week's musing, Sean Granton does know about him, as evidenced by a Tumblr trail. So
they're Tumblr friends.
That's right. Some great photos. And it made me kind of jealous, made me want to go out and camp myself. So maybe
I'll
do that.
Hell of jealous.
Hells of jealous. Yes.
Jeremy from Transit Matters shares his thoughts on the finger.
Let's go through these one by one. Yeah. On the finger, he says he likes to do it when it makes him feel good, which I still have some compunctions about because, like, you never know who you're talking to. But.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't mean I haven't given anybody the finger ever in my life. I've certainly done that.
today.
Did you do it today?
I didn't.
Okay.
I almost did.
Okay.
It was like this weird half finger, like open back of my hand kind of.
Look
just,
at my three fingers.
It was like, I'm thinking better of this now.
There we go. So those are his thoughts on that.
And next, my patch and
yes.
Sharrow's.
He likes the idea of the fact that you have the Oregon code for bicycles allowed full lane on the back of your jacket.
Yeah. I've already mentioned this. Never mind. It's not as pointed as bicycles can take up a whole lane, but still, bicycles can take up a whole lane. Also recommends the use of mirrors for communication while riding, and so many people who have mirrors often say this exact same thing.
Yeah. So maybe November should be a bicycling mirror month.
After the elections.
Right, right. Whether if we're a socialist republic, no mirrors. If we're not.
No, everybody gets a mirror.
Oh, that's right. Okay, never mind. That makes sense.
If we're not, then the mirrors will be market driven.
Yeah. And he was saying that Sharrows are not necessarily, he doesn't care for Sharrows because they're like a half-assed solution.
It is. It is.
Okay.
I think it's kind of, in a way, in my opinion, it's throwing a bone. It's,
uh-huh.
It's kind of the least somebody can do. It doesn't help safety by any means, as evidenced by, which I love to harp on.
Yes.
Sharrows on the St. John's Bridge
mm-hmm.
That's the dumbest place to put sharrows.
Do you think so though?
Yeah,
it
doesn't make the St. John's Bridge any safer.
It doesn't make
freight not go on there.
Right. It doesn't make it any safer, and yet I rode across the St. John's Bridge on Friday, or Wednesday. Wednesday, and I felt like my presence there was legitimized. I'm the kind of person that's going to take the middle of the lane anyways when I feel like I need to, but
sure.
That gave me just the extra boost of confidence, but you don't feel that.
Your presence is legitimized regardless.
What do you mean?
Like, you're allowed to take the lane. You can get on the St. John's Bridge any old time you want.
Because I'm huge?
No, just because that's the state law.
Okay.
And you're huge.
So I don't need paint to back that up.
No, that's the thing. Like,
okay. What if it's just a reminder to the people that are dumb?
That would be great. I mean, that's, I think, a good function of the sheriffs.
See,
but
like
honestly,
the
legally, the sheriffs don't give you any more protection.
No.
And physically, it gives you also no more protection.
Right. So paint is not enough, you would say?
No, certainly not.
All right. And now we all know. I like that we fell on different sides of an issue because we don't usually do that.
We don't. This is great.
I think that's good. We'll come back to that some other
time. We're still friends.
That's right, yeah. By the way, I'm taking back that thing I gave you.
Ah, damn it.
Orphos Flares are the next big thing in bicycle lighting, says Pete Clyde. Kickstarter in progress, based out of Seattle, and they're designed for wet climates.
It looks pretty cool.
Big old lights. You said that you're not a big fan of USB charging.
I am not, though.
Right.
Yep, that's where you lose points.
I bring my USB charger with me when I go traveling. So
that's great, but you may not always be in the city.
Oh, that's true.
You know, like think of our time out to Crater Lake.
Oh, right.
How long it was before we found, you know, powers.
Electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did spend a lot of time in the woods there.
That was maybe more of the exception. But I don't know. Like think of your cross-country trips with
Which is why I prefer a generator light setup for myself.
Yeah.
But these are good-looking lights, so check them out.
They do look really cool. Yeah.
There's your call
to
action,
people.
For
city riding, that's that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Next up, Johnny K shares Naughty Craft out of Michigan.
Naughty Craft.
Naughty Craft. It's not what you think.
For those who like to craft.
And get in the water.
Sure.
It's pedal-powered watercraft, ladies
exactly.
and gentlemen.
Yes, and there's not one, but like four different pedal-powered boats.
Yeah, you know, and when I first looked at them, I was like, these are just really glorified like paddle boats that you would ride up and down like, the lakes with.
But who doesn't want
cool?
Who doesn't want a really glorified paddle boat?
That's true.
Because the old school ones look kind of dumb. These look like speedboats and sailboats and ocean liners and shit.
Yeah.
So I recommend them highly. I've never ridden in one. I don't know. I'd like to try one, I guess.
I recommend them until I sink one.
Hey, next time you go to Michigan, you should try one out.
I'll go to Naughty Craft.
There we go.
You're next.
Like a gamers convention? Naughty Craft. Doug says, okay, that was weird. There was a 60-second segment during this podcast where Dan from Minnesota, Sean Granton, and Garrison Keillor were all mentioned. What's weird about that? I've met all three of them.
Holy shit. Fill out your bingo card, Doug.
Seriously.
I'll get you the
I think
the
he
cookies.
Won.
Yeah, you win. Jim from New York is riding to work. Right on rain this morning. Breaking in my new commute to work. Less MTA, more pedaling. And then he sent pictures of his Dayhan.
I'm trying to remember how you say Dayhan.
I don't know.
I would just say Dayhan if I was saying it on my own, but I feel like Dayan might be a... I have no idea. Maybe it depends on where you're from.
It's a folding bike.
It is a folding bike, yes. And one of the more affordable options for folding bikes. And he says less MTA. I think that's probably good if it gets him more exercise. We do like public transit.
Sure.
But also, I mean...
Independence I value a lot, too.
You know, there's a difference between taking public transit like all the way from point to point. That takes me like an hour and a half or 2 hours on my evening commute home from work. I can get home in like 45 minutes, so.
Well then.
No, 50 minutes. And I get better exercise instead of sitting around.
Yeah.
In a bus full of stinky people because they've all been at work all day.
And they've been in your panniers.
That's it.
Scott Morgan finds Corey Poole a longboard stroller.
Yes, and I don't believe that Corey has any children on the way right now, but if he ever did... There would be a way to put his child on the front of his longboard. This was entertaining, and it's a real product as far as I can tell. So thanks, Scott.
Corey Poole came up in a conversation I had today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was trying on helmets.
Oh, nice.
And I mentioned that I kind of looked like Corey Poole with a particular helmet on.
Nice. Well, he has, he has a very distinctive helmet.
He does.
Yeah.
Does he wear a nutcase?
Is that a nutcase?
Go to the internet to find out. All right, ready to close the show out?
Let's, almost. Yeah. I was about to say let's do this, but I realized I'm not exactly ready. But you can find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. And you can email us at
thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or on Twitter.
You can find us on the Twitters at Sprocket Podcast.
Indeed. Our phone number,
Our phone number is, go ahead.
847-9774. Call us, people.
Hey, thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music, and thanks to Hertbird for the headline sounder, which we used. Logan, and thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K., Shadowfoot, Katrina Melengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson, Cameron Lee, and Richard Winzinski, Tim Mooney, Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish. All right, I missed it already.
Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly, Jim Gooden, Eric Wise,
Doug Cohen Miller, Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt, and Zoe Campagna.
All right, everybody, take care. Brush your teeth.
Go to bed.
So for all the people out there who think that I'm lame now for saying I was a vegan and I'm not, I can say that I am a cyclist.
Please. This is the contest, right?
Maybe you
keep
can
up, Brock.
You want my notes?
Keep up here.
Sometimes we have a backup recorder. Tonight we're depending on the trusty old Mac. So.
I thought you meant recorder. And I was like,
sometimes we have someone
for musical interludes.
To play the Braveheart
Could
theme.
Could you play our interlude for us?
But it's not live, so nobody's like calling in right now.
Critiquing us, no. I thought it'd be fun to
People
have it that way.
Might be calling in right now, but,
but we don't
no
care.
One to answer the phones.
Just blowing off the hook out there.
Yep.
It's like the opposite of a public radio pledge drive.
You are listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.